Police Officer Jesse Hubbard and Detective Tad Martin live and work in Pine Valley, a beautiful town located on the beautiful Pennsylvania coast. Pine Valley is a place of mystery, mass misogyny, and crazy lesbians, says writer Chuck Pratt. It's a place where you can buy a gun as easily as Annie Lavery can scale a fence, or climb a brick wall, or escape an insane asylum. But how can so much beauty conceal so much murder? Tonight, Pine Valley Police Chief Hubbard and resident Dick Todd Martin discover the murder of one of all my children's most beloved legacy characters. A murder mystery so great, we haven't seen such gifted storytelling since Agatha Christie or Edgar Allan Poe. Sorry about that. Chuck Pratt asked me to add that line. Anyway, don't miss the exciting developments on All My Children's Masterpiece Mystery.
Masterpiece is made possible by viewers like you. Thank you.
This week on All My Children, Jesse does his best Barney Fife, while Tad does his best B. Arthur as Chuck Pratt's riveting murder mystery begins.
J.R. hits the bottle again when he discovers that Danny Gokey was eliminated from American Idol.
Unfortunately for Adam, it's as easy to get a gun in Pine Valley as it is to break into the Chandler Mansion.
And the worst game of Clue ever begins. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
This week on All My Children,
Chuck Pratt blames Eden Regal for his shitty writing.
Chuck Pratt introduces no ass kisser Jamie Luner and simultaneously insults the rest of the cast in one Chuck swoop. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. Dumbass, stupid.
We don't like you, Chuck Pratt.
Have you figured that out yet?
Just in case you're not, like, aware of it.
I hate you. I hate you.
Hate you. And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson. Yes. It's like if anybody still likes Chuck Pratt, they must be smoking something. They must be smoking whatever Chuck Pratt's smoking.
Wait a minute. Who are Bianca and Reese?
Don't you remember how we lured a hugely popular actress, Tamara Braun, to our show in order to portray Bianca's lesbian girlfriend?
Lesbians? We have lesbians on our show.
Chuck Pratt's writing sucks.
Chuck you, Chuck Pratt.
Go chuck yourself.
Chuck it.
Chuck it real hard. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending May 15, 2009.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
I'm sorry we're a little bit late again, but in due time, you'll find out why we're always late.
We've got a mystery, a super secret mystery.
Yes, we got a mystery going on. And before we get into that big mystery, I got something I got to get off my chest.
And I've been waiting all day because he has not shared with me. He's like, don't worry, Ashley, I will tell you.
I'm gonna put it this way. Here at the Pine Valley Podcast, yes, this is a podcast about Pine Valley and All My Children, but as most of you listeners know, we all like not just All My Children, but a lot of other soaps, a lot of nighttime shows and movies and
reality television. Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, we watch, you know, we like everything. We're up on world events and what's going on. So we sprinkle a little bit of stuff around, you know, but the one thing we try to avoid is the two topics that you shouldn't talk about when you're at a party, which is
religion and politics.
And I tend not to say anything. Something's been going on that I've been quiet about because, you know, I'm like, you know what? That's something that's, you know, that falls in the rat realm. But now I got to speak up. Now I got to get it off my chest.
Oh, no.
Jordan
is having a moment.
I'm a little peeved because, look, in this country of ours, America, you know, the one thing about it is that we're about freedom of speech and you're able to say whatever you want to say.
Oh, now I know where he's going.
Okay? Miss California, you have whatever right you wanted to say what you had to say, and you said it. And that's fine. And nobody's knocking her. I mean, me personally, I don't agree with her, but whatever.
Nobody agrees with her.
No, but look.
We're New Yorkers.
But she had the right to say what she felt, no matter how stupid a move it was on her part. Wait, let me finish what I'm saying.
It wasn't that stupid. She was asked the question.
Yes, she was asked the question, and she spoke honestly. But if you're going to be shrewd about winning this contest, that was the stupid thing to say.
She won.
Because it's... No, she
was
didn't.
Miss California.
She was up for Miss America. She didn't win. She came in second.
Miss America or Miss USA?
Whatever. She came in second. The point that I'm trying to make is she had the right to say what she wanted to say, and I stand by that because that's freedom of speech. No matter how stupid, ignorant, or racist, whatever you want to say, that's why the KKK can do
now
what they say.
You're gonna get us in more trouble. No, now but you're comparing Miss California to the KKK.
No, the KKK can say what they want to say. What I'm mad about is the fact that the media now is trying to make her look like the victim. That's what's pissing me off. Look,
she's trying to make her look like the victim.
The same way, no,
she was the victim.
Amanda Pizer from the New York Post.
She said, and I quote, "Nobody in America should go through what I went through."
Exactly, but Amanda Pizer in the New York Post, a columnist who I normally like her columns in the New York Post, she just did an article making this woman out to be like the victim and how it's horrible how everybody's attacking her. Let me explain something.
It is horrible. I agree.
No, it's not horrible.
I don't agree. The same way the Dixie Chicks got attacked for their opinion on Bush.
No, it's two different things.
This woman got attacked too.
No,
it's
two different things. The Dixie Chick thing was different. People were burning.
I totally disagree, Miss California. I couldn't disagree more, but I agree that she was attacked over it stupidly.
People were burning their CDs.
What are you going to do?
People were burning their CDs. That's different. This what's going on with her now, the same way she has the freedom and the right to say what's on her mind, people have the freedom and the right to say what they think about what she said.
But people got crazy, Jordan. Sometimes people glom onto one thing, an issue, and they just knock you down.
No matter how beautiful,
and I think that's wrong too.
No matter how beautiful something may look, and I don't think she's that beautiful, but how people think she's beautiful, it doesn't matter if the vessel is beautiful, but it's still spewing out hate. And that's what she's doing by saying this. I'm sorry. We're talking about civil rights here. We're talking about people having the freedom. You're going to tell me that I cannot marry somebody that I love, that I'm in a relationship with?
That's not the issue. And that's not what we're discussing here.
I just got to sit on my chest. She's not a victim. I think it's horrible
that
the media
is
making her out to be like
that. She had an opinion. It's not unlike a lot of people in this country, to me, unfortunately, because that's just my opinion. But it's not unlike a lot of people in this country. And she voiced it.
Well, all I got to say is
and
that 60,
and she was attacked
60
for
years
it.
Ago, 60 years ago, this would have been somebody saying the same thing about people of different races getting married, all right?
Well, that's they how, weren't allowed not, to get married.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the same principle, though. The same way she couldn't. What if she would have said that about a black person and a white person getting married? Do you think that would have been okay?
She would have been lynched.
She would have been, yeah. If she would have been up there and she would have said, oh, I don't think it's right for like people of different races. I don't think it's right for blacks and whites to get married, blacks or whites and Latins. You think that would have been okay? No, everybody would have been in an uproar and everybody would have been justified with okay with them attacking her, but because she said it about gays, it's okay. Basically, it's okay.
That's crazy. What the hell are you talking about, Jordan Hudson?
Well, you ruined my chain. I thought I had a really good speech planned out, and you messed it up.
I didn't mean to. I'm just trying to be fair. You know, I'm trying to be fair.
What?
I'm gonna tell you why I'm trying to be fair.
Why?
Because we, and this is the segue, people. This is the tie-in. All right. We are very opinionated here at the Pine Valley. And one of our bloggers, I forgot, it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago when I talked about, actually it was the last podcast we did because we took a break last week. The last podcast I did or the week before, I complained that someone on iTunes had given us a bad review.
Uh-huh.
And because we are right now happen to be people pretty down on the show. Long story short, this blogger, and I'm so sorry I'm forgetting your name because it was great. It was a great piece of advice. She told me to put my big girl panties on. And suck it up, basically. And she was right. She was absolutely right. I shouldn't have even mentioned it on the podcast because it was like, it was lame. We put our opinions out there, so we should expect that people are going to disagree and sometimes people are going to get real angry about the things that we have to say, just like you got real angry about what Miss California said.
But see, I didn't get real angry. I just was like, she's ignorant. I was not offended by what she said. I saw it. I saw the clip on the Soup. Because I don't watch that thing. I saw what, and I don't like Perez Hilton. I'll tell you right now, I can't stand Perez Hilton. But he asked her the question, she commented, and it was like typical ignorant, you know, whatever. It did not bother me. What's bothering me now is the fact that they're making her out to be a victim. And I'm sorry, you know what? The same way she put it out there, now people are putting it out there about her. Honey, don't say it. Don't dish it out if you can't take it in.
But I'm also saying,
that's all I'm saying.
And I'm also
that's
making a point
saying.
Here because you and I have been the victim, and I ain't going into it too much. I promised you that I wouldn't even go into it.
Promise
now here I am going into it. You and I have been the recipients, if you will, of people getting pissed off about our opinions. And I think, in my opinion, sometimes people go a little too far because we are just a dang podcast. We don't make a cent on this podcast. We don't get paid. You should see the equipment we use to post this thing. Who the hell are we? We are, like, in the scheme of things, nobody. And someone's getting so upset because we said we didn't like All My Children. It's a little sad.
All right, but see, but look, now I'm going to say what I got to say about that, because, like, I personally, I don't care what anybody thinks about the podcast, about you or me. That doesn't bother me in the heart.
Can I finish my point real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
My point is that people do get riled up over these things.
I understand that,
but... And they start, you know, and even, like, on Daily Show, you watch Daily Show, no?
No, I don't watch the Daily Show. Well, that's the Jon Stewart thing, right?
Yes, yeah, no, I do.
Honey, I watch a million hours.
Jon Stewart could not be more polar opposite in thinking from this Miss California.
Uh-huh.
But he agreed. It's sort of like people get a lynch mob mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I get uncomfortable with. I'm not comfortable with that.
All I keep reading about how is she's this victim because she spoke her mind. And my thing is, you know, same way she's able to speak her mind, if somebody like Perez Hilton wants to say she's a douchebag for saying it, he has the right to. He's a gay man. He took offense to it. You're talking about somebody's civil rights here. I should be able to marry somebody that I love, somebody that I'm raising kids with, whether they're our biological kids or adopted. I should have that same right that you and Carlos have.
I don't disagree with you.
All right? Well, this is what I'm talking about. What she's spewing is nobody's asking her to even go to a gay wedding. She doesn't have to support. It's the same thing with abortion. It's about pro-choice. It's about the government telling us what we can and can't do. And in regards to this podcast, look, my whole
now thing, I gotta tell you something.
What?
We're crossing the line now.
Look, because you threw me off my track. It was a beautiful speech that I had planned out and you ruined it. Look, in regards to this podcast.
Yes.
The thing that I love about our community here is that everybody.
Yeah, more kinds.
We have everybody, and everybody feels free on the blog to express themselves. There are many of our regular listeners who don't necessarily agree with me and you all the time, but this is just like any other show. This is just like David Letterman. Not saying that we're at the same caliber as Mr. Letterman. I'm just saying. The same way David Letterman, Chelsea Handler, Joel McHale. I watch Chelsea Handler every single night. Do I agree with every single thing she says? No. She likes Jennifer Aniston. I'm on Team Jolie. Hello. But that doesn't mean that I hate her. That doesn't mean I'm going to get on her blog and spew hatred to her.
What I'm saying is that I sympathize a little bit with Miss California. That's what I'm saying.
You lucky I can't slap you for that.
I'm telling you, she has...
You are lucky I can't slap you for that.
I could not disagree with her opinion more, but I don't like that people get so freaking crazy. The woman... listen, she's Miss California. She gets judged on how she looks in a bathing suit. I mean, come on now. You're going to take the opinions of that thing seriously?
I don't know. It's still... Look. She could have expressed it better. That's all I'm saying.
She said what she thinks that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
No, she said something like in her country, in this country. So it's not my country. I was born here.
I don't think it's
a- No. You really need to hear what she said.
I heard what she said. I don't think she said it like that.
Yeah, she did. Do you need us to get on the blog? Right? Yes. You want to get on YouTube right now and play it for them?
I do.
See, I didn't want this to go there.
We are 20 minutes into the podcast.
So we're not.
And we haven't even talked about Emmy nominations
yet. You want to talk about the Emmy nominations?
Hell yes.
All right, let's talk about the Emmy nominations.
Go ahead.
I don't begrudge All My Children getting nominated. Regardless of what some people think, I'm fine with the fact that All My Children got some nominations. What I dislike was the fact that One Night to Live didn't. That's what I find more disturbing. The three best soaps were three of the worst soaps on the air.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, Days of Our Lives, when was the last time Days of Our Lives even got nominated for something? And Bold and the Beautiful... Bold and the Beautiful, I don't even watch Bold and the Beautiful, but people that I know that watch Bold and the Beautiful think that Bold and the Beautiful is horrible right now.
Everybody thinks it's
campy. That it's a disgrace to William Bell's original concept of the show. It's become so caricature. I mean, The Soup makes fun of it almost every week because of how stupid things are. And yet, that got nominated.
So are you not going to do, because we had Cool Roz write in, and she asked us if we were going to do a happy dance for all of the good news that All My Children has received this week.
Are you going to do a happy dance? No, I am happy for All My Children.
I would like to see you do a happy dance.
You understand something. All right, from what I understand.
What does your happy dance look like?
I don't do that. I don't. I do a this. a tip of the hat to you in honor of Chelsea Handler. A tip of the hat to you, all my children. Chelsea Handler does that. I love that. A tip
like,
of the hat.
He's like waving his two fingers.
Yeah, a tip of the hat to you, all my children. I do that. No, because look, you people keep forgetting. The Daytime Emmys, a few years back, the Daytime Emmys situated, because they used to have it some bizarre cutoff point. Now it's by the year. So basically, when you get nominated for it, they're judging you from January of 2008 to December of 2008. People, you're forgetting, Chuck Pratt has not been writing the show for that whole year.
How do we get proof?
I would love for Soap Weekly. Soap Weekly usually used to like tell you what tapes were being shown, what scenes were being shown for these awards. I would love to know what they're getting nominated, because I have money down. I bet you, first of all, I bet you anything, Debbie Morgan's reel is all from when her and Jesse came back.
Absolutely.
She cannot, because Chuck Pratt hasn't given her really anything.
She was incredible. She was incredible. So that's what I'm saying.
And look, Alicia Minshew, please. Alicia Minshew could have been showing scenes from The Satin Slayer and won an Emmy. That's how good Alicia is. So I don't begrudge anybody their awards. I'm even happy that Maya Sandy got nominated.
I'm sorry, but she is.
I just, my only disgruntled thing with Alicia is that, I'm sorry, she belongs in Best Actress. No disrespect to Ms. Morgan, because I love Ms. Morgan, but Ms. Minshew is a lead role. That's not supporting.
She puts herself in that category, Papi.
I don't.
She submits for the category she wants to be considered for.
Yeah, Mom. I don't know.
Well, that's what she did. You want to take a look at Miss California?
No, I'm over it already, because you got me mad now. I'm defending her.
I'm not. Oh my god.
And we're only joking, everybody. Relax. Oh, is this it?
This is it.
Can they hear it?
Let's see.
Your question comes from Judge Number 8, Perez Hilton.
Are we worried?
You should be.
Vermont recently became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you think every state should follow suit? Why or why not?
Well, I think it's great that Americans are able to choose one or the other. We live in a land that you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite marriage. And you know what? In my country, and in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
In my country.
I don't think she meant the United States. I think she meant where she was raised.
We should all move away, all the gays and lesbians and trannies.
She meant where she was raised and the way that she was raised in the country or something like that. That's what I think. I don't think it didn't sound. She even said no offense, but that's just how I feel. I'm not defending this viewpoint. You don't understand. Do you know me, Jordan Hudson? How many years you know me?
I know. I'm just saying. Look, I don't.
The LGBT community.
Again, all I'm saying is the same way she had the right to express herself. All these people that are calling her on it, they have the right to express themselves.
You know what might be happening here? I'm gonna tell you what might be happening, and I agree with you to an extent. She probably is so used to, because she's beautiful and, you know, privileged and all that. I mean, this woman has not had to work very hard her whole life. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's gone through, you know, beauty pageants and blah blah blah. She probably is not used to anybody, you know, talking back to her, being mad at her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she probably couldn't handle it. You're right. You're absolutely right. She wasn't able to handle what she dished out. I agree with you there.
I mean,
but what I'm saying is people do get a little crazy on stuff. That's what bothers me.
But how could you not realize that?
Just like people get crazy on us for stupid shit. That's what I'm saying.
Look, you told me not to say anything, so I'm not saying anything.
I know. I broke my own rule.
What?
I broke my own rule.
About what?
About not saying nothing.
About what?
About haters. It's
the elephant in the room.
It is the elephant in the room. I don't want to talk about it, because you know what? We got some beautiful responses from all of our bloggers and letters of support and love.
And I love you guys. And like I said before, I don't care what anybody says about us or the podcast. But when people start attacking you guys, that's when I speak up. I don't like that at all. You guys were expressing yourselves. If somebody's going to come into our family and playground and not respect the fact that we're all not going to agree and just, you know, but I didn't like that. I love you guys. From Susan and Lelise to Terry to WMD, Disco Dan to WMD Dan. To Tasha in Brooklyn. And Tasha doesn't agree with us a lot of the times. But you know what? Tasha's always respectful, because Tasha's part of our family. And that's all I'm saying. It's like, you can say whatever you want on our blog.
And, shadow.
And yeah, exactly. But, you know, shadow. You can't knock us because we're family. And we got Lorne. Our patriarch shadow.
And our aunt,
Susan and Elise, and Lord, you know.
Jenny ran the race.
I don't like nobody knocking you guys. That's when I get mad.
Shadow had a beautiful entry. He wrote like a novel entry.
He always does. I love Shadow's entry.
It was beautiful.
So, you know, so don't, you know, keep expressing yourselves. As Madonna says, express yourself.
And, you know, call us on our shit. We don't care.
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, we got to agree to disagree.
We're stupid sometimes.
We don't even get along a lot of the time. And we don't. Yeah, exactly.
Half the time, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, that's the other way around.
Do we want to talk? No, we don't want to talk anymore. Emmy talk, do we?
Well, for those of you who don't know, because we never mentioned this on the podcast, the Emmys finally did get picked up. The CW is going to be airing them. We found this out months ago. And we never mentioned it because at a time it seemed like nobody wanted it, none of the major networks wanted to show it.
That's right,
CW. Yeah, but the CW. And thank God that Vanessa Williams is hosting the show because usually...
I love her, love her.
She's a woman of a certain age. That's my favorite line of hers from Ugly Betty. I'll live with that line.
She's more beautiful than any let me tell you something. I think she's great.
No, it's a line from Ugly Betty, her character
said. I know what I'm saying.
But anyway, the thing is that you know how the networks like to push their own celebrities. I would have died if Tyra Banks was going to be hosting. You don't understand. I cannot stand Tyra Banks.
I would have loved it.
And this is why. I don't like her, that's why I don't watch America's Next Top Model or what's her other stupid show, Tyra. She's an idiot. She is what's wrong with this country. The fact that this woman has a job and that she has the resources to express herself not once but twice during the week. Well, yeah, well, Tyra's on five times.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
You like that idiot? She doesn't even know how to question people in an interview. She's a moron.
I'm going to tell you something. I agree that there's something to her that is not like... She's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Not the sharpest tool. Not the sharpest tool. That's an understatement. She makes Kobe look intelligent. She makes Kobe look intelligent. What do you...
She is not the sharpest tool in the shed, but can I tell you?
I think it is. You like her forehead.
What she lacks in brain power, she makes up for in sheer chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is? That woman got balls. She got testicles. She got get up and go.
You think she's a tranny?
No! No.
I always thought she was a tranny.
No.
She looks a little masculine.
But listen, but hear me out. That woman has one of the most successful, and she is unapologetically corny about her television shows. She takes herself and America's Next Top Model so seriously. She takes herself as seriously as Faye Dunaway did. Remember that show we were talking about?
What?
The acting show that Faye Dunaway did. It was on for a season.
Oh, no, you saw that. I didn't see that.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. But she takes herself so seriously. She goes on. This woman is one of Oprah's like little best buddies. She's on Oprah all the time as a guest host.
And it really makes me think less of Oprah that Oprah's backing Tyra.
No, because she's a strong
Tyra's
woman.
An idiot. She's an idiot, though. She's an idiot. She's an idiot.
How many models, supermodels, Sports Illustrated supermodels have done what this woman has done? I'm being serious with you now.
I'm being serious, too. She's an idiot.
She has two top-rated shows. The woman will never, ever not be able to support herself.
It makes me long for the days of Ricky Lake. I used to love Ricky Lake.
I have a lot of respect for Tyra. I'm telling you right now.
No, I hate Tyra. I'm glad she's not hosting. I can't stand Tyra.
I think she's fun.
Oh, and we know what we forgot to do in the last podcast.
Who? What?
A moment of silence for Bea Arthur. How dare you? We just lost one of the Golden Girls.
I know. You don't understand, people.
Maud.
I'm old enough to remember when Maud aired in prime time. That's how old I am. But hear me
out.
I
saw it in reruns on Nickelodeon.
I'm just laughing because was it Jenny that made the Bea? Because we stole a little bit of your Bea Arthur joke, Jenny. I think it was Jenny that said the Taz hair looked like Bea Arthur.
The Golden Girls. Yeah. It kind of does. It does. Michael Knight, I'm all for the gray. You know what the problem is? I don't think it's the gray. You know what the problem is? I think he lets it boof out too much. He needs to keep it short. When he gets it cut.
He needs to keep it short and dye.
No, I don't mind the gray. I think it's just a matter of he needs to keep it short.
Adam is looking scary too with that fro.
A moment of silence for Bea Arthur. Won't give her that?
One, two, three.
Okay. And also, we lost Dom DeLuise during our break.
One more. Okay.
Guess what I'm getting in another week from Amazon.com?
The main event?
No.
My favorite movie, Barbra Streisand, Ryan O'Neal.
The main event. I like that.
I think I sang that as an intro once because I love that song.
I used to love the main event.
My every star, you're my one attraction. You must be heaven sent. You give me so much satisfaction. You're the one.
Okay, no, I'm getting the first half of the first season of Peyton Plays. I'm gonna be in heaven when that comes. You don't understand. I'm probably gonna watch it straight through. I'm dying. See, I never saw the original.
After
Peyton
you catch
Plays.
Up on Mystery Masterpiece Theater.
Yeah. Well, no,
I'm
only behind on one episode.
Oh, Wallander.
Wallander, the second. I wasn't too crazy about Wallander. I like Inspector Morse and the rest of them better. But anyway, we digress. Oh my God,
we gotta talk about my children. For a half hour.
I know. So bad.
Let us get back on topic.
All right. I got to tell you, up until Thursday, I was living for All My Children. I thought All My Children was excellent Monday, Tuesday,
you hear
Wednesday.
That, people? For all y'all that are in the
I should have told you to sit down. I should have told everybody to sit down for that one.
Brace yourself.
I will almost go as far to say is that I thought Wednesday might have been a flawless episode. Almost.
I would go
almost.
That far.
And then, of course, Thursday came along and everything started to go.
Oh, my God. Bleeding, oh, run for your lives, people. The heavens are gray, murky, blah, blah, blah.
And we got to look at the blog because somebody actually gave that award a name, and I thought it was the best one, and I totally forgot.
I know, I forgot it, too. It was last week's blog, though.
Yeah. We had some good comments. Somebody else came up with a good nickname for somebody, too. What was it that you were asking for a nickname at the last blog? And somebody on the...
E-Babe.
Oh, yeah, E-Babe.
Katia came up with E-Babe.
Look, it's E-Babe Mirabella Carey. The same way it's Babe Arabella Carey. E-Babe Mirabella Carey.
I love it.
And I got to tell you,
but
loving...
that tombstone bothers me. It's not right. It's not Babe Arabella Carey.
It should be Arabella Babe.
Arabella, quote-unquote, Babe Carey.
Well, the other tombstone... did say it that way. That's
really?
A different tombstone.
Idiots.
And the tombstone was facing differently.
Idiots.
And this tombstone was facing a different way, too.
I do. I want to smack them upside their stupid heads.
I got to tell you, Friday's episode, all I'll say about Friday's episode was that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was expecting a lot worse. But still, again, because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was loving All My Children. Let us start.
I will tell you that Jay
stuff.
Bernard, not Jamie. People get Jay Bernard confused with Jamie. Our lovely Jamie Giddens is one of the heads of Daytime Confidential, and then Jay Bernard helps and writes the All My Children columns and
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's been writing some great columns. I got to tell you, I disagreed a little bit with him on Friday. He hated Friday's episode. Now, he was just speaking specifically about the Friday episode, and you can find his article by going to the AMC page on daytimeconfidential.com. He just wrote about specifically how Adam's, you know, murder unfolded and how the whole thing happened, and he hated it. He hated Thorsten K, and I really like Thorsten K. He hated him. You liked him on Friday.
No, I gotta tell you, look. Let me say something about Friday. I'm not gonna say that I hated Friday's episode.
I didn't hate it either.
I didn't hate it. I was expecting to
hate
it.
And for all you people that call us haters and say that we just brag on the show, we actually didn't hate Friday. That's an accomplishment.
I didn't think it was flawless. There were certain things. Look, this new directing style that they have, where they go swoosh, swoosh with the set. And then like you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I don't like that at all. That takes away.
Well, you have a name for
it. I love the out. I agree. I think it was it Laura who said that she liked the outside shots of the Chandler Mansion.
Might have been. No, Laura. Maybe it's B.R. Teddy.
Oh God, we gotta stay tight. No, so who says what? I'm sorry,
we're so
people.
Bad.
It's just that, you know, the blog gets out of control. There's so many entries, and I can. You know what? I'm gonna start taking notes as I'm reading the blog, so we can make sure we give credit. But somebody in the blog, I think it was Laura, I could be wrong, said that they like. I also love the outside shots. My problem was the swoosh, swoosh. I was getting seasick watching it. It was like, slow down, hold the camera still, just show Chandler Mansion. You don't need to go whoosh, whoosh. I hate that sound effect.
Yeah,
I hate
time,
that movement.
This time, the bile in my throat was not caused by the poor acting or the horrible stories. It was caused by motion sickness.
And that's the other thing. The thing was that I think, yes, while the writing may have been lacking and some of the character motivation might have been lacking, you cannot deny the fact that David Canary and Michael Knight and Alicia Minshew, and they all know on the Pine Valley podcast that I cannot stand Thorsten K and what's his, Zach? But I got to say, he turned it out this week. And I thought the four of them saved Friday's episode, because I'll tell you who the big offenders were for me. Miss Bobby Eakes, I love you, but I don't know what the hell you were thinking on Friday. She, you talk about chewing scenery. She gave what could be, I got to say, you know, there's a thing called the Raspberry Awards.
You ruined my life, Adam Chandler. I got nothing because of you. I'm going to kill you.
Now make your right eye bigger than your left and make your left nostril like close in.
I got
in.
Nothing to live
and
for.
And turn your lip
you
up. Turn your lip
away.
Up. Yeah, that's right. And turn your
you
lip
took
up.
Baby Jenny lip. From me.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
I don't
it.
Have David. Just I got nothing.
Distort your face a little bit more. Like if it was put in a shredder.
Pause. Pause. Glycerin drop. Glycerin drop. Action.
I hate you, Adam Chandler. I hate you.
It was one of the worst performances I've ever seen by
Bobby
an actress.
Eakes.
Bobby Eakes. I don't know, man.
Bobby Eakes. Bobby. We got to talk.
Yeah.
We love you here at the Pine Valley Podcast.
But
we
not
know,
by Friday's episode.
We know what you're capable of, mamacita. And you had some beautiful moments earlier
early in
the
week.
Week.
That's what I'm saying.
Beautiful moments when you found out when E-Babe found you out.
I was embarrassed. And then the other offender, of course, was Mr. Jacob Young, who we know can really ham it up because he's done it in the past. All I know is that Jacob Young has his moments when he's brilliant, and then he has his moments when he's not. And Friday, for me, was not. Him and Bobby Eakes, it was embarrassing to watch them.
Can I tell you something? What? I have never been one to defend Jacob Young because I think he gets a little hammy, and I think sometimes he gets lazy. But I'm going to say something in his defense.
Go ahead, because I think I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you.
It's the, like, 82nd time he's had to go back to the booth.
Yes, see, this is... See, people...
If you had to play the same thing
every freaking
time, you'd be a little bored.
I agree with you, too. And see, this is my problem with all my children, is that when they're on the verge of something great, they screw it up. This whole thing of JR always going to... Yeah, that's the easy road. JR always going to the bottle.
Lack
no matter what happens,
that's another thing.
JR goes to the bottle.
Lack of imagination.
Samantha Who gets canceled? Oh, JR's going to go to the bottle. Hide the liquor. It's every little thing that goes wrong in the world.
Did
JR just, I don't know. I was reading our blog and somebody said they got canceled. I didn't hear that. And I like Samantha Who. I like Samantha Who. It's not... Look, I'm going to say this. It's not... as brilliant a show as Better Off Ted. Better Off Ted is phenomenal. It's not of that caliber. But for ABC, Samantha Who's a step up, because their comedies have, you know, they're the ones who are known for, like, you know, Full House and Family Matter, that TGIF. Right? They never had that quality comedy the way NBC does. So, I mean, I'm sad if Samantha Who goes, because I actually watched that.
I love me some Christina Applegate. Truly talented.
And even more important, I love me some Jean Smart, who plays her mother. I live for Jean. I worship at the altar of Jean Smart. So.
Who was talking about Christine Baranski on the blog?
Oh, but I mentioned that aside. I forgot who told me they agree with me. Christine Baranski's on Ugly Betty. This is why I'm loving Ugly Betty this season
her.
For being
I
in New York.
I adore her.
Because Ugly Betty's in New York now, so they can use all these hot New York real actors.
Yep, yep,
like
yep.
Bernadette Peters, who I live for Bernadette yep. Peters on that show. Christine Baranski.
And these are great stage actresses.
Oh, Ray Gardner's brother's on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's playing her boyfriend's father.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope he doesn't twirl his mustache like he did on All
Leave him
My Children.
Alone.
What?
You're so mean.
I
like him. I liked him on All My Children, too.
Insanity, but do you want to start with the murder mystery first?
No, let us start with Insanity, because as much as I love my Insanity and I love my Annie, I can't stand what they give her, because she's involved with Adam still, and they digress her character. You talk about JR going to the bottle. How many times can Annie go crazy?
For all you people that call us haters, I'm going to tell you something I love.
What?
Annie's new hairdo.
Woo! You know who she copied that from?
Who?
Adriana on One Night to Live. Bitchy Bangs. Bitchy Bangs started a trend. Now everybody wants bangs. I live. Bangs are hot right now.
She got the hair color darker again, because she's, I think, more fair hair.
I like her dark.
Me too.
Because remember when she was Blandy?
Oh,
and
bland.
The first time she got her hair dark and we were raving about her.
Oh, hotness.
This was like years ago when she was Blandy. I told you, when she got the hair dark, she looked very 1940s Rita Hayworth movie star like.
Beautiful.
And so I'm loving the hair dark and I'm loving the bangs.
So she has the bangs and a little bit of a new cut. A little bit of a new cut.
Yeah.
Damn. Every scene she was in, she looked awesome.
She looked awesome.
Awesome. So, okay. Oh, the beginning of the week, Opal is still having her visions and she sees her And Aiden has broken into.
Wait, but Brian's she sees house. Her. She sees the real Annie. She thinks she's seeing a vision because she's so ditzy. Go ahead.
Fine.
Zip through it, girl. So zip through
then,
it.
Then, all right, that douchebag Adam pretends it ain't Annie. He plays on Opal and he pretends that no one's there when he knows it's Annie. And then Opal, he begs Opal not to tell Ryan.
And she's stupid and she agrees
she's
to it.
She's stupid and agrees.
See, this is what I don't like, people. That's stupid. Not Opal. That's Opal not is not Opal. Stupid.
But hear
Opal
me out.
Is not stupid.
But Opal does tell him, thank God.
Yeah, but she tells him, she doesn't tell him out of the right reason to tell him, which is that you should tell him. Because first of all, he's not Ryan's best friend. Why should he be in Ryan's house when he's not there?
Right.
No matter what the excuse is. And guess what? He doesn't have a key, so that means he broke in.
That's right.
No, well, Opal should have immediately called Ryan.
She did immediately call Ryan. Do you remember?
No, she didn't.
She did because Ryan came home and the door was open. Do you remember? Remember?
No, you're remembering wrong. She bumped into Ryan at the hospital. That's where she told Ryan about Adam. Or not the hospital. Where else did they run into each other?
She did run into him at the hospital later on.
Yeah, and that's what she... And she didn't tell him. She mentioned something about Adam. And Ryan was like, wait a minute. Adam was at my house? That's how it went down. You're remembering wrong.
Fine. As some of our... less friendly bloggers have noticed, I'm a little narcoleptic during the show. That I will agree with you on. All right. So then Annie comes back and she is crazy. She's all happy to see Adam. And he's like, what are you doing, Annie? What are you doing here? What?
No, keep going.
All right, fine. I know it's boring. Okay, so then he's like, we gotta go. So she's like, okay. So she spills her bag, right? And that's when he sees her gun?
Yeah,
he sees her gun. And she forgets to pack her wallet, so her wallet gets left behind. And then they hear Ryan coming. Stop it. So they run to the basement. And as Susan and Elise so astutely pointed out.
It looks like every other basement.
It looks like that Annie's childhood basement. Because
ABC's broke. They can only afford one basement set.
Now, here's another thing.
That's the old Martin basement, too.
It's true, right?
That's the old basement for the Martins in the 1970 house before the tornado.
But did you notice that they're also switching sets on the ABC shows?
What do you mean?
Because One Life to Live for the insane asylum that Powell was in used the same insane asylum Adam was in for a couple. Dixie, remember when Adam was
really?
In the
you thought
asylum?
It looked the same?
It looked exactly the same to me.
I wouldn't put it. ABC's so cheap; it wouldn't put me past them. They can't even change their opening credits. Yeah. People on YouTube are making better opening credits than they are.
It is pure disgusting laziness. Disgusting.
How much money could it take? To take a shot
seriously,
out.
Seriously. Really, seriously.
In this day and age where people can get on their own computers
it's
and make up opening.
It's like Saturday Night Live. Really? Really? Do you use about Saturday Night Live?
No. I saw the final episode of Mad TV. Really?
You did?
Saturday was the final Mad TV. I can't believe they canceled it, Fox.
That was a fun show.
Grey's Anatomy was...
All right, we're digressing
again.
Oh,
okay. Because you're talking about Annie. Come on, speed it up.
But this was a good... For all you people that call me a hater and Jordan a hater... I think we might agree on this particular development. When Adam fell down the stairs and Annie said she was going to pop his shoulder back in and then she broke it more. That was pretty good.
Look, anytime that Aiden's getting tortured, I'm all for it.
It was pretty good.
But see, this is my problem.
She goes, I'm sorry, Aiden. I'm calling the shots now.
See, but this is my problem with Adam. How stupid are you that you don't realize how many times is this woman going to bang you up beside the head, lock you up, tie you up before you realize that this is not somebody you can have a relationship with?
Yeah, it's really worked out.
He is an idiot.
He's really dumb.
You deserve what you get, you moron.
He's dumb. It's really dumb. Can I ask you a question? Where did that knife kick come from that came into the wall?
What?
That knife that went into the wall?
Where everybody gets their guns from the same place.
I guess so.
It was in deer. What did they call it on our blog? They said Pine Valley's become like the OK Corral.
He loves that. LMAO, OK Corral. Yeah. He loved that.
Because it's true. Everybody has a gun.
Well, even more so, everybody has an open window because Annie is able to go to Chandler Mansion and get into that window.
Oh, but we already know that it's easy to get to Chandler. Anybody can get into Chandler Mansion.
Someone pointed out that there was no screen.
There's nothing.
Nothing to open. Just go right into little A's girly room. He's got a girly man room.
You think?
You kidding me? He's got pink and green bedding.
Let me tell you something. That little boy who plays little A is dynamite.
Oh, he's adorable.
He, you know what he should do? They should pay him extra so he could take Adam, Kobe, and Randy and Natalia in the corner and teach them how to act. I think that's what they should do. Because little A rocks. I love me some little. I don't want you to be my grandfather.
I used to love me some Emma. And this is not her. She got child doctors. She looks a little bored.
She's over it. She's like telling her mother, do I still got to do this?
I know. I feel for the child.
She's over it. Poor Kathy wants to act and they never use her. When was the last time we saw her?
Brilliant, that little girl.
When was the last time we saw her?
No, that's a good question.
The tornado?
Seriously, where is little Kathy?
she was the one who shot at like, do you remember The Simpsons when they shot Mr. Burns and nobody knew who it was and it wound up being Maggie, the little baby? Yeah, that's what's going to happen now. It's going to be Kathy who killed
him. That would be a better development, let me tell you.
You killed my mother!
Because right now it's looking like J. Lou is going to be the killer, don't you think? Because all her legs are...
I don't want to talk about... Look, I know. Yes, everybody. Whenever there's a tight mini black dress, you know that J. Lou's running around town.
Disgusting.
And the show's going to become J. Lou 24/7 now because she's in everybody... The way you guys hate Stacey on One Night to Live, that's how you're going to feel about J. Lou because she's going to be in everybody's storyline.
That's not necessarily a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler because I'm not telling you how...
It's a warning.
I'm not telling you how she's going to be involved in the storyline, but it seems like she's involved in everybody's business. Ugh.
All right, so listen. Aiden is locked up in the basement for like the entire week.
And guess what? Nobody cares. Nobody in town misses him. And Opal doesn't get a vision.
And even worse, Adam is just tickled by his little firecracker. He says, there's nothing you could do that wouldn't make me love you.
You're an idiot.
Oh, you're crazy. Oh, you're nuts.
You're an idiot.
Now, listen, I almost wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because I wanted to think maybe he's, like, sweet-talking her.
No.
But I don't think he was.
Oh, my God. You know, and I know British people. They're not like him. They're really intelligent and nice. And I can understand them.
On Friday's episode, Annie looks awesome. She had her hair in that ponytail.
But she knew she was going to be, you know, breaking into Chandler Mansion, so she had to look her best.
But seriously, I'm going to tell you the truth. She was wearing like a little pair of tight jeans, a very simple striped t-shirt, brown, and a bronze bag. She couldn't have looked hotter, I don't think. Mm-hmm. She looked incredible. She looked the best I've ever seen her. But what I'm laughing to myself about, this is what bothers me.
What?
Adam is sitting down there in that damn basement for like at least 2 days because she now has a change of clothes, right? Even though it feels like a week, we got to say realistically, it's at least minimum 2 days.
No, wait a minute. This is the basement in Ryan's...
In Ryan's building.
And nobody has come across this man?
Nobody's come across him. He obviously has...
Do they not have like the washing machines down there like in most buildings?
I don't... Obviously not. Obviously, these rich people have their own washer dryers, so that's not an issue.
But nobody goes to the basement in this building.
And apparently, Adam doesn't go to the bathroom. Because he never has to take a piss or a crap. Nothing. He doesn't get hungry or thirsty. Do you know that 2 days without water, you could be dead? Isn't that true?
Really?
I think it's like 2 days.
Really?
You can go a week without food, but you go like 2 or 3 days without water, you're dead. You're dead. Redick! Oh, sorry. I forgot to warn them.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Scream alert.
Scream alert.
Retroactive. All right, so then. To the writer's credit.
Wait. You're giving the writer's credit for what? I got to hear
this. Adam does say, you can't just keep leaving me down here, Arnie. I got to take a piss. Or maybe they didn't say that. That was probably my worst Adam impression.
I totally believed you. I really was getting into it. And I said, he did not say that.
My Adam is just deteriorating.
You don't watch Grey's Anatomy, do you?
Hell no.
Oh my God. Let me tell you. It was so good. That was a big twist at the end.
I like when Annie went back looking for Emma at the Chandler Mansion and little A and her watching the Disney movie. JR made sure to mention that it was a Disney movie.
Well, of course.
And then Annie runs into Stuart.
Yes.
Now, we heard earlier in the week that Stuart, that Marion was away, right? On some real estate thing?
No, they didn't explain where Marion was.
She was mailing him.
Yeah, she was mailing him, and Scott made a point of saying, oh, I can't believe that you guys, like, write to each other every all time. And that was so cute.
Well, okay, so...
But, so Marion's away, but they didn't really say, like, why she was away.
Okay, but they do have Annie turn out all the lights. She goes to the board, the, whatever it's called. What do you call that? The outlet board or whatever?
You're jumping all over the place. I'm so lost.
Well, she goes back, because remember she goes back to get Emma? She's going to take Emma.
Right, so she knocks out all the lights. Well, first of all, Stuart actually is one of the most intelligent people in Pine Valley,
yes,
because he was like...
He
said, he goes, aren't you, like, locked up? And she's like, no, they released me.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite scenes. And Stu was like, okay. And he made sure to lock the gate behind him. He was like, bye.
But here's what's even more upsetting is that she turns out all the lights. So really, on this like stormy night, Chandler Mansion should be pitch freaking black. Like, it should be the scariest place in the universe because there's no lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
No candles. I didn't see anyone light a candle.
No.
Did you see one person light a candle?
No.
Poor little Emma and poor little A must have been would realistically have been terrified.
That's the one thing I didn't like about this murder mystery
terrified.
In the channel.
And
I don't think
that. Sees them and still leaves them alone.
Yeah, I.
They should have been crying and whimpering and terrified.
Me personally, I think they should have come up with a way to have those kids out of the house. I know they had to because that gives you reason for Annie to go there. But I don't like when kids are in danger like that. I don't. That doesn't do nothing for me. I was like, oof.
At least make it realistic.
Yeah.
Make them scared out of their mind.
Make somebody grab them. I agree with you on that point. I think it's ridiculous that all these adults were going by and just let these kids stay by themselves.
So now, okay.
But little A was so cute when he leaped up. He's like, Grandpa!
He was adorable. Well, now we're getting into... sort of like the whole murder mystery territory. So we should probably backtrack and go back to the beginning of the Adam murder mystery. You look.
Are we still calling it the Adam murder mystery?
You've got a point.
I can't believe everybody hasn't put two and two together, but okay.
Everybody has.
But well, people in the blog are still saying, I can't believe they killed Adam.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Do I gotta bleep you? Dang. Alright, listen. We go back to the beginning of the week. And this...
What?
It's tedious. It's just tedious. Because there's so many stupid plot things.
What are you babbling about?
All his plot points are so stupid. They're so like manufactured to create this murder mystery. So at the same time, everybody at the same moment hates Adam and has to kill him at exactly the same moment.
Yeah, some of it's a little, some of it's believable, and some of it's a far stretch. You're like you're pushing it.
You are pushing it.
But some of it is believable. But I agree with you. It's convenient. It's very like, I think they could have plotted it out a little bit better to make it all fall into place. Some of it seemed very rushed. I don't know.
Well, we had the beginning of the week, like that party at the Chandler Mansion to celebrate that dumbass vow that we all know didn't work. Which I hate the whole storyline to begin with. I'm sorry, stupid. I'm sorry, I hate it.
I like it.
How do you like it? There's nothing based in reality about it. It's so stupid to me. It's like they don't even try to make it sound realistic. You know what I mean? Like the writers don't even do their homework and try to make it sound relatively plausible.
Look, I compare it to the other stuff that they've been giving us for the last few months. And to me, this is more interesting than a tornado. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I find...
You know what's more interesting to me?
What?
A good nap. It's true.
I'm sorry. I find the Valve story to be more interesting than the tornado. I do. I find it more interesting. I like Scott. I like...
I choose neither. Neither. How would you say it?
No.
You have good diction. No. Neither.
Neither.
All right. I'll say neither. Okay. So then we have... And then we have like David's there. And I think Crystal's there. And E-Babe.
See, that was unbelievable. E-Babe just started working at this place. And they're going to give her a big assignment by going out and like catering a place. I found that hard to believe.
Oh, that didn't bother me at all.
That bothered me. I was like, she just started working there. What is she, like the prima like waitress? She's been there for like a week.
She was good. You could tell. They established a week prior that she's a very good waitress.
She ain't that good.
Oh,
they're
she's
gonna...
good.
Honey, she used to give hand jobs for a living. Please.
There you go.
Oh, that's how she probably got it. Okay. Yeah. That was like, she gave, well, no, because that manager at the Pine Valley, the yacht club looked like he'd rather have a hand job from like Scott or JR.
Yeah, Yeah, you got a point. But he really wanted her back when she quit.
I know. He very much wanted her back. I got to tell you, I'm loving me my little E-babe.
She's doing good. Like, she's really getting in people's faces. And at first I thought, like, who the hell is this girl coming into town telling everyone their business? But that's very babe-like. Having all these opinions and, you know what I mean? I like it. I like it.
I like her a lot more than I like Babe.
It's very Crystal-like, too. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, no, I like the character. I think the character is very three-dimensional. I like her. The reason I find her interesting because she obviously has a good side and a dark side. And I think those are always the characters that are more interesting.
Her dark side ain't so dark, though.
I think that she can easily go to the dark side like Luke Skywalker did. Definitely. She okay, with I'll David as her father, yes, she I'll can because she's already
but
established
she
that she'll
back
do.
And I like
yeah,
it.
But she told David before that week that we were off. She told David she wants to make money
right,
as a lawyer.
That's not dark.
No, but all right, but
fine.
In contrast to her being some kind of like saint.
All right,
which fine. Babe wasn't. What is this thing with Babe being a saint?
All right, fine. Can we move on with this dumbass storyline?
Go.
Basically, we then have...
Oh, wait. I got to say, Erica was hot on Monday's episode with that dress and that hair.
Beautiful.
Stunning at that party.
Was last week the blue dress or was that the week before?
I don't know. All I know is
the turquoise blue dress
at the Valve party. At the Valve party,
yeah.
Susan Lucci, you look like you were in your 20s. That's how hot you look. Your hair down like that, no poofiness, no hairspray poofing it up. It was just down. You looked so young and so beautiful. I worship you.
I worship you. I'm not worthy. Not worthy. Beaker witnesses a hanging.
Okay, I don't buy that. I don't buy that Adam. I don't buy that Adam would have somebody come and kill him, because that's what they're leading us to believe. Because the week that we were off,
himself. No.
The week that we were off, he was on the phone and there was a knock at the door, and he went to get the door, and that was the last we saw him alive.
Oh shit! You're right.
So they're making it seem like Adam was, and I don't buy that for a minute that Adam would hire somebody to kill him. I don't like that.
I think you're right about that.
And if they think that I forgot that scene and they're never going to address it, they better think again, because they better address that. Because he did not commit suicide.
Well, then we have all these things being set up because Ian's at the hospital taking a turn for the worse. Because obviously, because David knows the valve did not work. He tried to fix it, but apparently he didn't do a good job, idiot. Because Ian started failing. And then Zach, of course, threatens to kill Adam. And then last week, Crystal had threatened to kill Adam, and it's just become a very obvious game of Clue. Like, it's just, like, so ridiculous. I wrote in my notes, I hate Nurse Gail. I hate her. Erica talked to her about her bone structure. And I love that because she overheard.
That was classic Erica.
She overheard Nurse Gail.
I loved it, yes.
Because she knew that, Nurse Gail knew that Adam was turning little A against David, so she was trying to pump up, you know, Grandpa David, and Erica heard her, so she tried to like forge this relationship. And Erica goes digging around about Gail's relationship with Dr. David, and I just love when
those
Erica does
scenes.
That. Yeah,
those were great scenes. And see, this is the problem that I have, because the reason that we hate Nurse Gail is because it's so one dimensional. If they would have put some thought into this plot point and character, this could have been very interesting. Because the actress isn't necessarily horrendous.
Yeah.
She just, you know, she just, it's, they don't give her two-dimensional.
Two-dimensional bride of Chucky.
You know? That's what somebody in the vlog called it. They think they're a bride of Chucky. I love that. Because she kind of does.
She
I hate
does
to say
like
it.
Chucky.
She does look like that doll.
She doesn't look so much like the bride of Chucky as much as Chucky himself.
No, she does not look like Chucky. She looks like the bride.
She's got the same bone structure
as
Chucky.
She has that same forehead as the
Chucky. She got that square Chucky head.
She has that big forehead that the bride had.
Did you not love when Ian starts to turn again for the worst? Okay, he discovers that the Chandlers knew about the valve, and that was something you and I had a side discussion about.
About what?
Why Scott Chandler did not bust in that operating room?
Okay, I'm. Yeah, she was asking because she doesn't seem to remember
Scott.
And she doesn't believe that he would do it. And I'm telling you that I think you got to remember the position that he's in. There's nothing they could do. The boy was on the operating table.
They take the valve out. They go. He
and then what are
in.
They gonna put in there? They gotta put something in
they
there.
They do an alternative surgery that they were gonna do without the valve.
No.
Simple. Stupid.
Actually, it's not that easy. I don't think it's that easy.
I would do. Anything.
I don't think it's as easy.
I would give my right arm to save a child.
Look, I understand what Scott did, and you have to understand that the one thing that I give Pratt or someone of his writers privilege, you know, credit for, is that they're really making Scott's character very three-dimensional. Because one of the things that I was always bored with Scott before was that Scott was always very one-dimensional before. And this Scott has a little bit of an edge. And you know what? When he talked to JR afterwards and he explained...
Andy Chandler and Scott and Stuart Chandler's son would never do that. He would bust in that operating room and tell the truth.
No.
Yes.
I disagree with you.
Yes.
Character disagree with you. No, no. I think you're going way over the top of the character assassination. There was nothing he could do. The actor showed worry and concern in his face, which is why Zach was able to pick up on something.
He still didn't admit the truth to Zach when Zach looked him in the eye, pointed him, and put his pointer between his two eyeballs and pressed on his forehead. He still didn't say nothing. He was a coward.
So he was a coward. Big deal.
That's not Scott. Scott is bold and decisive.
What Scott are you talking about?
Scott Chandler. Cindy Chandler's son is a good man. He's a good man.
Do you know, I gotta tell you, do you know the original actor who played Scott died? The little boy who was, it's the one from the
80s. Oh, I do remember the curly hair boy.
The little curly hair boy that was the original Scott. He grew up, I'm sorry, we digress. I've always been very disturbed by this. He grew up, became a school teacher, and he, I think, died in a car crash or something. It's on IMDb. I was so sad when I gotta be honest. I'm gonna come out of the closet about something.
Do I need to put music here?
The reason that I know so much about the soaps and everything is that I used to be a paparazzi.
Shut up!
Yes.
Oh my God. You heard it here first.
I was a big soap fan, and I went down to the soap studios to see Greg and Jenny. And I was so excited, and I took pictures because I used to love me and my Greg and Jenny. Lawrence Law. Oh, God, I had the biggest crush on Lawrence Law. Anyway, and I met the most greatest people in the community, like these fans that would hang out in front of the soap studio, and I made a lot of great friends. I actually connected base with one of my old friends from those days, Nicole. Hey, Nicole. She's even listening to the podcast now. Nicole. Anyway, so we used to hang out, and we used to take photos, and at first it was just like we loved the soaps. We loved all the soaps. And what happened was somebody saw some of the photos they took, and they're like, how much? And I'm like, what? And they're like, well, how much do you want for the photos? So it became like this thing where I started selling the photos to other fans, and then I even got my photos in the magazines.
Did you make a lot of money?
I mean, it was, for a kid, it was a good side, gig. You know what I mean? Like, I was a kid, but I was just, it was more fun just going down to the studio and seeing all the soap stars stuff. So that's how I learned all about the business and how, like what they do inside and everything. Like, Sharon Gebet, I was a big Sharon Gebet fan, Raven from Edge and I, she loved me to death. She took me in, a couple of days before the last episode of Edge and I was shot. So I got to see the studio at Edge and I and stuff. And Ellen Wheeler, who played Cindy, took me into all my children. And I actually had this great shot of her and the little boy who played her son Scott that I took inside the studio.
She posted.
I'm gonna try to post somewhere. I don't have all the photos anymore. I got rid because I used to have tons, and I went to all the soaps, As the World Turns, Guiding Light. I have all the photos. I got. I have a photo of Debbie Morgan with her Emmy that I took. Yeah, when she won for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, that's awesome.
I used to go to the Emmys and shoot. So that's why I know so much. So anyway, so that's why I'm a little tough on this, because I remember the good old days. But anyway, I digress.
Fine. So that is a very amazing... I can't believe you finally shared that. I knew that, but it just seemed like something you didn't want to share.
Well, because I'm sure they're always wondering why I'm so opinionated and what gives me the right to say all these things and stuff. And it's like, because I'm in the business, damn it.
All right, listen. So I loved it when Zach found out that the Chandlers knew, and he touches David's cheeks, Tony Soprano style, and he says... Take care of my boy. Take care of my boy. I like that a lot. So that's another thing I like, people. I don't always hate. I did not like it when David cornered Adam with a tiny scalpel.
Okay,
Adam seemed appropriately unconcerned.
Why? Because he could have sneezed it right out of David's hand. Exactly. I'm going to say this. The scene itself was great. But the fact that he was, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, what?
It was a little baby scalpel.
I was like, is it a toothpick?
It was a pediatric ward scalpel.
I was like, what is he holding against him? A butter knife? It was really stupid. It was really stupid. I agree with you. But I want to say something. All of you got to sit down for this one, too. And you all know that I've ragged on Thorsten K a lot. I don't like this whole machismo thing that all of you listeners love so much. It does nothing for me. So last week when he was on Everybody's Case and he was telling Jake, you come in here and you do operate on my son. And that didn't do anything for me. But this stuff with Ian and his life being in danger and finding out that the valve, Thorsten Gay turned it out. Those were some real, real moments for him. Like, you could see in his eyes. And that I like. That I give credit for, because that's acting. And I loved it. I loved it.
I like when Erica confronted Adam about the truth.
Oh, she was Miss
Both Lucia. About Nurse Gale, but also about the valve.
Yes.
Because she couldn't believe that Adam would dare allow a faulty valve to be put in her grandchild.
Yeah, but as one of our bloggers pointed out, and I forget who, it's funny how she kept calling him Ian and not my grandson. It would have been more appropriate for her to say, you put my grandson. But then she kept saying that baby and a little boy and Ian. That's so really, that she needs to just say my grandson, because that's her grandson.
I loved when Erica, because Erica busts Nurse Gale, she tells Adam, was it in front of Adam or was it just to her?
No, it was in front of Adam.
She says, according to my sources at the hospital, our Nurse Gale here has a serious case of hero worship for Dr. Hayward. And I love Nurse Gale because she's like, this is outrageous. Does she sound like Julie Childs? This is outrageous. And not just an insult to me, but to Dr. Hayward as well. For you to suggest that there's some ulterior motive for David's affections? Well, I never. I love me some Nurse Gale now. If I can make fun of her, I like her.
Yeah, I have to say, I thought all that stuff with Erica figuring it out and stuff, that was all good. I gotta tell you guys, unlike Ashley, I've been liking all my children the last couple of weeks. Ever since Mirabella and Beaker came on, it's been like a brand new day for me, because I'm finding things that I really like. And I love this week. This week was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I thought were really good episodes.
I like when Zach put a magic marker on Adam's head.
No, see, I didn't like that.
Jesse comes in, he's like, drop it. Drop the magic marker now.
He did not say that. Look. I'm going to say why because all of that stuff, and again, I always rag on the fact that he acts like a barbarian and the whole machismo thing doesn't work for me. But with this, it really does. So here I am, he's being all manly, he clocked Ryan in the face, and you know that I kept rewinding that on the DVR.
I love that.
It seemed
like he was going to leave, and then he didn't, clocked Ryan.
And I kept hitting the rewind button so I could see it over and over and over again. And I was like, hit him harder. And then goes back in there after he says he's going to leave. And Erica's like, no, Zach. And he locks the door. And we're thinking that something's going to come. And then they go to commercial. And when they come back, he thinks that Adam is like Slumdog Millionaire. And he's putting a dot in his forehead. And I didn't get that at all. That did nothing for me.
It was where he was going to put the bullet in Adam's head.
No, it was corny.
I love it.
Because he was acting like a grieving father. And now, and then he peed out.
I liked it.
He peed out.
Well, what I did.
You don't know what that means, do you?
No. Do I want to know?
Is that like a big old?
Listen, we then see Jesse and Tad like the next day trying to figure out this whole Dixie murder mystery, which does nothing for me. I'm so over Satin Slayer. I can't believe we're even going there again.
Well, they need a reason for Tat and JR to be. That's the whole reason that this Satin Slayer has come out. Right. So they got to have a reason for everybody to be. Again, predictable. Because the bottom line is that if you're not going to really go into finding out who really was trying to kill Babe and Dixie and wound up killing Dixie, what's the point?
I agree.
I bet you anything they're going to drop this after all this is said and done.
I agree.
Nobody's ever going to mention this again. Or they're going to even say that the Satin Slayer will say that he lied and he really did kill. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I don't think that this is going to lead to anywhere. Because the bottom line is, who would want to kill Babe?
Care about Babe anymore. She's not on the show.
She's coming back.
She might still be in the opening credits, but she ain't on the
show. No, she's coming back.
What do you mean?
Didn't you read Confidential? Amanda Baker's shooting scenes.
But as old Babe.
Who knows?
She's not coming back from the dead.
Well, I'm assuming she's coming back as either doing flashbacks or a ghost.
Yes, so that's not a spoiler. So stop spoiling!
But, or maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll see Crystal have a fantasy where they're like, wait, there's another! There's another! And she popped out a third kid and she sold this one on Craigslist.
You know, she would have been smarter to do that because on Craigslist, there's no fees. No listing fees whatsoever. What I hated was, as Jesse and Tad are trying to deduce who actually killed Dixie, Opal walks in, and guess what she sees?
A vision.
A bloody Ryan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Ryan. It's Ryan. He's bleeding from his head. Oh, Lord, help me.
Are you sure he's not bleeding from his ass like Babe?
That's true. I wish he was bleeding from his ass.
And he has a nice ass. He really does.
You know what happens when you bleed from the ass? You die. Just like Babe. Babe, I gotta tell you,
I mean, I like can't remember, but his ass is really nice.
It's too big for me.
I like a big butt.
It's too like bubble butt for me.
Yeah.
But here's what pissed me off even more.
What?
Jesse actually and Tad actually sat Opal down. And they actually said,
Opal, what do you see, Opal? Tell me. You say you see a bloody Ryan? Tell us what you see.
Could you effing believe this? Atrocious. Disgusting.
Next, Angie's going to come to Opal for advice on how to handle an operation.
Thank you. Thank you. At least they followed it up with a nice Beaker and Stewart scene.
All I will say is that the Stewart and Beaker scene was beautiful and just brilliant. These two have so much chemistry, and I want more of that. I want more of that. That's all my children to me. That's all my children to me. That's all my children to me.
Well, Adam at that point afterwards tells Stewart, and he tells JR that Scott's gonna run Chandler Enterprises when Adam dies.
And of course, what does JR do?
Drink, 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 drink.
That's from I Love Lucy.
Yes.
We're gonna drink, 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 drink.
That's it.
That's from the episode that I love. That's when they did the operetta.
Absolutely. I remember that.
I love that episode. I love that episode.
And in the middle of all of this, because drunk JR goes to Tad, and he's clearly drunk, and Tad knows it. In the middle of this brouhaha, Opal runs in, and I kid you not, she says, "The heavens are raining great death upon us." Oh, God. That is what Jill Larson had to utter. And that woman,
honey,
sold it.
They're not paying you enough.
They really are.
They are not, because the fact that you put so much, because Ashley brought up a good point, because I told her, you know, at this point, Jill Larson, and what I meant by saying that Jill Larson is probably just doing it for the paycheck, because I'm sure Jill Larson knows this is garbage. But what Ashley pointed out is, unlike Rebecca Budig, who went out dead behind the eyes, Jill Larson gives it her all. She don't care. She's acting. She's getting a paycheck.
Just like in
She's gonna make it work. And and God bless you, Jill, because I'm telling you, I don't know how you do it, girl, because that is some hideous material they give you. And you talk about character assassination. I think what they're doing with Opal's character assassination, because this is not Opal at all.
I agree.
Is not Opal. And one of the reasons that Jill Larson was such a great recast is because anybody who remembers Dorothy Lyman as Opal, and let me tell you something, Dorothy Lyman was Dorothy Lyman originated Opal.
I
didn't think anybody could replace Opal. And
you
when
know
they
why she was so good though,
what?
Because she was so also really two dimensional. She was bad. Opal was a bad character. When
yeah,
she
Opal
came
was.
On.
Well, you know, Opal.
She was
to
sort of pimp her daughter. Her daughter was not comfortable.
But
modeling.
You know why?
Jenny
that,
was not comfortable modeling.
But you know why that
she was?
Was
a stage mom.
You know why that was?
Why?
Dorothy Lyman wasn't supposed to stay on as Opal. They had brought. They were trying to. Agnes was trying to recreate the whole Tad. Ray Gardner thing. Opal was supposed to like eventually be written off, and Jenny was supposed to be adopted by the Martins the way Tad was. But Opal, Dorothy Lyman's Opal was so popular. Yes, Dorothy Lyman's Opal was so popular, and the fans loved the character so much that they quickly decided they needed to keep the character
on.
Well,
the great, most brilliant thing, if you can watch any YouTube clips about Dorothy Lyman's Opal, and I still love Jill Larson, this is not a slight to
Jill Larson.
But the great thing about the character, because she was written differently then, was that she was a stage mom. She was very, like, putting her daughter out there. Like, she basically made her daughter work at Foxy's.
Yeah.
Because she thought it would advance her modeling career. That's how stupid that was. But at the core of it, Dorothy Lyman was such a beautiful actress that she always knew that in her mind, she really thought she was doing the best thing for her daughter. Like, she thought that putting her daughter in Foxy's in a fox tail
was gonna
advance her career, and that's what she should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with being selfish or greedy or whatever.
She just was
kind of stupid.
Yeah, she was trailer trash. Like what we like to say in Spanish, she was a little bruta.
A little
rough around the edges in American terms.
But she did love her daughter.
But now look, see, this is the thing. Jill Larson was a great recast because, first of all, years had passed. Excellent. Years had passed. So a lot of people, when Jill Larson came out as Opal, a lot of people weren't even watching it. And you remember Dorothy Lyman. But the thing was that like you love to say so much, Jill Larson had the essence of Opal. Yes, it was still her own Opal, but it was the essence. Now, this Opal now I know that in the later years, they kind of dabbled into Opal having some kind of... But now we're talking Opal as the ghost whisperer. Come on. It's ridiculous. It's insulting to the character. It's insulting to the actress. The actress deserves more. And I'm going to tell you why.
And she's capable of so much.
And I'm going to tell you why. She's very capable. I think she's capable of a romance. You know, the thing that's irking me right now is that this show cannot afford to be losing characters of a certain age. Why? Because they're really dying in real life.
That's
we already Brian lost Franz Myrtle.
That's Brian Franz.
We already lost Myrtle. And you know,
Palmer's all but gone.
I hate to say it. James Mitchell's old. I mean, I love him to death. I don't want him gone. But he's really, you know, he's not well. He's not in the greatest health. So the fact is, you know, we have Opal use her. We have Dr. Joe use him. There was no reason to kill off one of the Chandler twins. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey.
What?
You got to be careful.
About what?
You're slipping.
Did I?
We got to move forward. We are 82 hours into the podcast.
All right.
So hear me out here because we still got to talk about One Life to Live.
One Life to Live was hot.
Oh, my God. Hold on. We got to finish this up. So then, let's talk a little about Crystal. I hate that slogan. Crystal goes to visit. Real babe. And she says to her,
Real babe. I get it.
E-babe and real babe.
All right.
At the grave. And she looks at babe's incorrect tombstone. And she says, you and I used to say it, babe. We deserve the best. And together we can always get it. What kind of freaking slogan is that? That always bothered me. No matter what. Nobody deserves the best of anything. I'm sorry. You earn your place in the world. You earn your stuff. They deserve the best, and together they can get it. They can steal it. They can rob it. They can rip it all. That bothers me. Thank God for real babe, e-babe, I mean. Thank God for e-babe. She sees her birthday is the same birthday on Babe's tombstone.
And I like that because I thought they were going to prolong this for
me
weeks.
Too.
And the fact that she was intelligent enough to put two and two together right there on the spot, I was like, I like her.
And do some real big reveal rather than stupid. Yeah, she was good. And she really, and she asked the right questions. And this is where, I hate to do it, I will give Chuck Pratt a little bit of credit. She asked the right questions. You know, why Crystal chose Babe and not her. And Crystal told her. Crystal said,
what?
Crystal said, honey, I am so sorry. Babe was just so much cuter.
No, she did.
And she had that blonde hair, baby. You're a little long in the tooth, if you know what I mean.
You're all tall and lanky.
Anyway.
No, she did not say that. Don't let them do that. She didn't say that. She said, I closed my eyes and I picked one.
That's what she said. She didn't mention that she had her hands on both their faces trying to feel for the different features. Let's face it, Babe is a little cuter than Marissa.
I
think Marissa's attractive, I do, but Babe is like a hot ticket.
Wait, which Babe are you talking about?
Oh, original Babe, not new Babe.
Because Amanda Baker, I'm sorry, she did nothing for me.
She's a beautiful girl, though.
She's beautiful, but she didn't do anything for me.
But
I think
Marissa
is prettier
girl.
Than Amanda Baker.
Yes, because she's more interesting. She's got personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So then Crystal runs home to a very somber David, and I actually like those scenes. I like the scenes between David and Crystal. Don't you think? Except when Crystal snapped and said, do it. Go ahead and kill me. I deserve it. I deserve to die.
That was bad writing and that was bad acting. I'm sorry. It really, And I know what he was going for, because the whole purpose of doing that was for her, for E-Babe to come in and save the day. Because obviously, E-Babe is going to try to do what Babe tried to do with David, which is try to get David to come into the light. Try to make him do what's right and see what's right.
But then
that's why
she calls
there.
Him on his shit.
Oh, let me tell you something. I live for those scenes. She was so bloody good on those scenes. She was amazing on those scenes. When she, because David, of course, is like, no, we would never try to do that. And she looked at David, because she goes, from all I've learned about you guys in the last few weeks, I know that you would. Mm-hmm. And I was like, work. She had their number, and she called him. She's like, I got your number, and this is it, and this is over with, and I don't want nothing to do with either one of you. And that's why I had to say Marissa was the star of the week for me. I loved Marissa.
And that was David's. Was that not David's inspiration then to kill Adam as well?
Yeah,
only,
I mean,
not only Little A,
well,
but also
Adam. Well,
Marissa.
Poor David. In David's defense, David's had a lot thrown on him in the span of this day. I mean, Little
He's
Ian almost died.
But this is the thing.
It has nothing to do with Vincent Nerazzurri as an actor. He's a great actor. The character's been badly written since he came back. I've always said that David's best when he has some humanity. And when he has humanity is when he has family to think about. When Leo was there,
was
and Maggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I was loving his performances and his scenes. I mean, you got to think about the ramifications. He was exactly right when he called Crystal on her bullshit. You were there when we lost our daughter, when you miscarried our child, and you knew what it was like for me not to have a child, and you knew that we had a child together still. That was kind of, that was really, you know, I'm sorry, he deserved to slap around a little bit for that. That was wrong. That was wrong what she did. I thought the scenes were great. The only thing was, I still think that the whole, and I was telling this on the phone when we talked about it, the whole scene of the reveal between Crystal and E-Babe at the gravesite, the first scenes, that could have been, in the old days, that would have been a whole episode of All My Children. Mm-hmm. Not saying the whole 60 minutes, but I'm saying it would have, because
you
could,
what you mean.
It could have, I, don't get me wrong, I loved it. I still think you could have gone further with it. They were still further, because
you're talking
think about
Chuck Pratt.
I know.
He is a premature.
But see, that's what I told you. I look at things in the grand scheme of things, and when I look at this week's episodes, I think about these writers and how limited they are. So for them, this is Pulitzer Prize winning material. This is Pulitzer Prize winning material.
Chip Hayes. I think he wrote the crap at the end of the week, that Chip Hayes. I got a bone to pick with you, Chip Hayes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kendall and Zach. It's real simple.
Yeah.
Ian dies, sort of. At least at the end of Thursday, we think he's dead.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I was telling Ashley, I think they should have killed Ian off.
All right, before we get into that, can I ask you a question?
What?
What did you think about the moment? First of all, Ian's demise comes very fast. One minute he's doing great, the next minute
but that's
David
how that
and
works.
Jake
that's
are
how
saying
happened.
That he's dying.
Yeah.
All right, fine, I get that. I'll accept that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then Kendall is crying her little heart out. And first of all, I told Jordan this all week. Kendall is talking half, I would say 99% of the time. She's talking to a prop baby, right? Would you say?
I would say it's a prop baby only because whenever
We've
there's a real...
It.
In all TV shows, whenever
they
it's a real baby,
the
they
real
show
baby.
The baby. When they don't show the real baby, it's because it's not really a baby.
It's
in
a prop
there.
Baby.
It's a prop baby.
So let's say... I would say, with the exception... And then when they show the clips of Ian, they probably... Like, maybe shoot one or twice of those, like, for a minute. And then just
yeah, but they never
in, right?
They never show any live clips of him this week. You never saw any live clips
no,
of him?
No, you did with the mask. Remember he had the mask on?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he had the mask
you
on twice.
You sure it was really him? Did
but
his
it looked
head
like...
Move?
But what I'm saying, it was him. It definitely... Because the mask was getting fogged up with his breath.
Okay.
But it looked like the same shot. Like, it looked like they just stuck it in a bunch of times. Long story short, the woman is talking to probably a doll or nothing at all. Either one. And she does... an astounding job. So she's crying her little eyes out, talking to, I don't know, an empty crib or maybe a doll in a crib, whatever. And the nurse is fussing with Ian, and all of a sudden Ian flatlines.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That nurse was really bad.
She was horrible.
She was horrendous.
The nurse, Kendall is screaming and crying. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's going on? What happened? The nurse looks at her with them damn big-ass tortoiseshell glasses and says, I'm really sorry. And
That was a little too much emotion.
That was probably too much emotion.
She didn't have any emotion.
She didn't call Angie. She didn't call a doctor.
Let me ask you something. Does she look a little bit like Tori Spelling to you?
A little bit. Tori Spelling with ugly glasses.
Tori Spelling turns around and tells Kendall, I'm sorry. Like nothing.
I'm really
sorry. Like, you're talking to the mother of this little baby who's dying in front of you.
I'm really sorry.
Like, I...
Even worse, because we got to wrap this up as we're going over time. Even worse is what almost all of our bloggers astutely pointed out. Astutely. Kendall and Zach's first response is not to grieve with their child.
But to go kill Adam.
They don't want to hold... And someone even said it on the blog. I thought it was so brilliant that... Ian was probably still warm when he died. Wouldn't you want to hold your baby? Be with your baby? I can't even fathom what kind of animal would leave their child
at a time like that. But see, this is my problem.
Bad writing, as Jordan says.
It's these little moments that you're sacrificing for the bigger picture.
For this big dumb plot
murder mystery. He's sacrificing these little moments that could have been really great, and this is why, and I'm not trying to be harsh, people. The reason that I think that little Ian should have died, because we're getting into Friday's episode, we found out that little Ian didn't die, which I think was a big cop out. I'm sorry. I think he should have died. I think it would have been more. There would have been more material and story for.
Wouldn't you rather see the story that played out if Ian died? Kendall's reaction, Zach's reaction. What kind of chain event that?
Taking
spills,
Adam to court.
You know.
I think instead of killing little Adam, it would have been more interesting to kill Ian. Sorry. I mean, think about it this way. Look at the storyline potential when they killed Laura off years ago, Brooke's daughter.
Some of the most amazing acting and scenes we've ever seen.
And that's things that people can relate to, losing a child.
Absolutely.
Not some big murder mystery where everybody's coming over to play Clue at your mansion.
Yes, exactly.
I also felt, I was telling Ashley, I don't know, is there anybody out there who's in the medical field? But I was asking her, wouldn't little Ian be brain dead anyway? Because he was out for a while before the thing went down. I mean, Jake was like doing that little...
I don't know.
For like hours, it felt like.
They screw up the timelines. That's the only problem. No. We don't really know how much time really elapsed. But look,
they basically told Kendall and him that he was dead and gone. I mean, They left. Angie and Jake come running in the next... I mean, that was a long time for him to be, like, with no oxygen going to the brain or the heart pump. I mean, they were big holes. Those were big holes, well, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, long story short, Friday was like a big circle, sort of. Like, that's the best way I could describe it. You basically had all the characters. You had Crystal threatening Adam. Then you had JR threatening Adam.
Some of the worst scenes
then
ever.
Then Tad comes in. And then you have Annie stalking around. And then you have Kendall stalking around. Then you have Zach stalking around. Yeah. Then you have two legs. And then a pair of black high heels.
Which we know is Jay Lou, because she always wears tight black.
We don't call Liza, we call her Jamie Luna.
We call her Jay Lou or Jamie Luna, because she always wears black. And the thing that was funny was that Tad at one point decides that he's going to bring Adam to the jail so he'll be safe. Adam turns on him and hits him with a cane or something. I mean, it just...
I thought it was a fire poker that was left by the door, which was so stupid.
Yeah, it was really, as one as in a hammer... Inaham's a new blogger. I don't know that. I gotta tell you, when I read your blog, I had tears. Ashley didn't see the movie, so she doesn't know what we're talking about, but I was rolling on the floor. He was like, or she was like, this is the worst game of Clue ever. And I was agreeing wholeheartedly. I mean, I liked a lot of the stuff, but overall, I think you're sacrificing a character. How are they promoting in the commercials? A legacy character or something like that? A legendary. Yeah, you're killing off a legendary character.
Sweeps.
Why?
For what?
For what purpose?
For sweeps.
What purpose?
Sweeps.
And in such a horrible way, too.
This is what kills me, all right? This is what bothers me, is that AMC pulls these stunts. And by the way, we got some exterior shots of the Chandler Mansion that we've never seen, right?
No, we have. We've never seen those exterior shots.
All right, so All My Children pulls these stunts. They've got the tornado. They've got, I don't want to call Jesse and Angie a stunt, but it certainly was a ratings booster. And now they have this murder mystery. And somehow it is keeping All My Children on the top of the ABC pack in terms of ratings.
Which means the Chip Pratt's never going to go.
Which sucks. And his writing team just got nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, all these people got nominated.
So I don't know what the f*** to do anymore. I really don't. I'm going to bleep it. Don't worry. But I don't know what the f*** to do anymore.
She says it again.
I'm so pissed off. Do you know that I sent an email to all the executives that just said fire Pratt? Susan and Elise, I forgot to tell you that. You guys were great. You guys sent me all the addresses of all the execs, and I sent individual emails. I said nothing more than just fire Pratt in the subject line, and then I filled it in the body of the email. I think that's what everybody should do. Basically, Friday ended with everyone pointing their gun at Adam.
Who?
Adam.
Who?
Hush. Adam. Or a reasonable likeness thereof. And we hear a gun bang. Adam finally gets there. Adam uses some knife in the wall. That was because Annie is so smart, she can fly across from the Interpol in 4 hours, but she forgets to remove a strategically placed knife from the wall where she's holding her man captive. He gets out, and I think it's him and Opal and someone else. And
Crystal.
Crystal.
Opal and Crystal and Adam are outside when they hear the gunshot.
They hear a gunshot. And then
so the people that are inside are Tad, JR.
And everybody has a gun, by the way.
And the last time we saw...
Everybody has a gun.
Yeah, everybody has a gun because it's very easy to get a gun in Pine Valley. And we don't know where JR... last time we saw JR, he was struggling with Annie. So JR and Annie, we don't know where they were. But we did see Kendall. David, Kendall, and Zach all pointing guns at what we're assuming is
Tad
Adam.
Tad walked in, too.
But Tad didn't have a gun.
Okay. So...
And Tad's going to be in a little bit of trouble all on his own.
You see our David Canary... Good way to put it, right?
Yes, good way to put it. David Canary.
David Canary fall to the floor, his hair flapping everywhere.
And then we had to hear this hideous voiceover of everybody, like, threatening to kill him. And him saying, I got to pay for all my sins or something. And I was like...
And Jordan was rolling his eyes.
Yeah, I was very, like, terrible ending.
I didn't think the episode was as bad as some thought. I liked some of the mood stuff. I enjoyed it. Just obviously the fact that there were no lights out in the mansion that everyone somehow could see everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Bothered me.
I love David Canary's performance. I don't necessarily know if I buy 100% Adam giving up so easy. It seemed at times that Adam making a will because
he made a will because
he thought he was going to die or somebody was going to kill him. That's not Adam. Adam's a fighter. So, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I liked it, but then I didn't. I liked certain things about it, but then I didn't.
This is what I'm saying. If this is the choice they made, I didn't think the execution was as poor as I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
But I still hate the way it was done because I agree with a lot of our other bloggers who would love to see a dignified death for this legendary character. A realistic and dignified death.
I said it in the last podcast.
You did, absolutely.
I said it would have been more realistic to go down the road.
HBO is doing the Alzheimer's project right now.
Yes, I thought it would have been...
Alzheimer's.
I thought that would have been a much more All My Children-like storyline.
Absolutely. And it would be an Agnes Nixon kind of thing.
And a very Agnes Nixon. It would have been timely. It's what people are dealing with now. I lost an aunt to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends who are dealing with it now. That I would have found more interesting to watch some glorified murder mystery in a mansion.
Where everybody acts out of character just to fulfill Pratt's wet dream of a grand murder mystery that's not even that well thought out.
You know.
Let's talk about a well thought out show.
Well, I thought it was hot this week. Oh my God, I can't. I just can't. Look, guys, One Life to Live is on fire this week. Even when they have a dip behind the eyes, Rebecca, the show still works. And I was telling Ashley about that because Ashley doesn't know Rebecca. And I think somebody on the blog had asked about Rebecca. For those of you who don't know, Rachel Aylesworth, who everybody knows is Michelle Almeida from 24 for a couple of seasons. And she's on, last thing I saw her on was Lost this season. She was the pregnant wife of the leader. She was the original Rebecca. And Rebecca was in a very complex storyline that Michael Malone created. She was this girl who was in the college class with Powell after Powell got released. And her and Powell fell in love. But she, for some reason, was very spiritual, religious. Not knocking religion, but... And she thought she could actually help and save Todd. And it was a very complicated relationship that she and Todd had. So the fact that the big reveal was that Powell and Rebecca are behind this current thing was great. Unfortunately, the one thing that I will knock One Life to Live, the casting director messed up by hiring this actress. She's
too
not the right age.
Young.
She's not the right age.
She looks younger than the original Rebecca.
Yeah, she looks younger because Rachel Aylesworth is aged well. And she's really dead behind the eyes.
Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's 93, so.
It's like a good 17, like 17 years.
17 years.
Yeah, so Rachel Aylesworth, there's no way they could have gotten her back, guys. She's a working Hollywood actress now. I mean, she's not famous.
Get
somebody that could act. I think that's the biggest thing. I could overlook the fact that she looked young, But the fact that she's still dead behind the eyes, which is very unlike One Night to Live, because they don't really hire people like that.
People like me that don't have the history with the show. I see this girl and I'm not understanding why she's acting like, why she's helping a murderer, because she don't seem crazy. She seems just
Well, like I was telling Ashley, even though the character was like, you have to wonder about a character that's going to fall in love with a convicted rapist. You know what I mean? The fact that she fell in love with Todd. I mean, so obviously there was a few screws. That's why I buy Rebecca being behind this. I just don't buy the actress. But this whole big reveal and how it went down at the beginning of the week with them sending poison envelopes and the poison envelopes knocking out Todd, Taya, and...
I kind of like that.
I loved it. Are you kidding? I loved it. The way they all passed out and little Jack running down.
He was the best.
Dad, Mom, Taya, are you... Oh, it was... That little kid is dynamite.
He looked at Powell and... Powell's like, who do you think did this, Jack? And he's like, you.
Yeah, he figured it out.
He knew. And then all of a sudden it clicks in him and he runs up and goes, Sam, Sam!
And of course, Sam is already ready with scooped up by Rebecca.
I've got the chills on
him. Yeah, it was really, really good. And he left, Powell took the three adults and left Rebecca with the kids. And it's been Thursday and Friday's episode. It just, we finally figured out why Powell was doing this. And it's very disturbed, very psychotic, very mental. I mean, what's going on. But a lot of the stuff that he's bringing up is true. It's a lot of truth that these three women have put up with a lot of abuse from Todd over the years.
At first, I thought it was really corny when he had them in the frat room. He had Marty, he had Taya, and he had Blair tied up in these chairs and stuff. And they were supposed to kill
Todd. He wanted them to kill Todd.
He didn't want to kill Todd. So I thought it was really corny because I'm like, duh, of course they're not going to kill Todd. Of course Taya's going to pretend that she'll do it and then she'll turn around and she'll kill Powell. But it was a great twist because he knew exactly that Taya was not going to kill Todd but try to kill him. And in fact, that's what she tried to do and he had put blanks in the gun.
Yeah, I
thought that was really clever.
Yeah, it was a lot of mental, and then he decided to take, because his thing is that he doesn't want to hurt Marty. This is his way, in some sick way, of him getting some kind of redemption. The same way Todd feels that he was redeeming himself with Marty when he held her hot. Yeah, so Powell thinks he's redeeming himself by like doing all this. So he decides to take Blair and Taya, and he leaves Marty with Todd in what was Ashley's favorite scenes of the week, the flashbacks that Marty had.
I've seen them, and they were chilling. I was crying my eyes out at the rape scene when she got gang raped by
You didn't even see it. That was just bits and pieces.
And
that
they
was,
couldn't show Roger Howarth, obviously.
Yeah, they didn't. They made a point of not showing Roger Howarth's Todd.
Yeah.
Because Todd. And they didn't show Kevin. Did you know that Kevin was in that room, too?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't remember if Kevin... I think Kevin didn't rape. I think Kevin was the only one who didn't engage in sex. But Kevin was in the room. Kevin Buchanan, Vicky's son.
That is a huge
story. It was a big story. Let me tell you, Michael Malone is a novelist. And he was the head writer with Linda Gottlieb, who was a movie producer who they got to take over One Night to Live. And let me tell you something.
And Marty was so good.
Those bad Paul Roush days of Attorney and the Wild West were over. One Night to Live was a serious soap opera in the early 90s to mid-90s.
Going through this.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And you know what it reminded me of? I know this might sound corny, but it reminded me of, what is that Jodie Foster movie where she...
The Accused.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm all for Debbie taking home Best Actress. I got to tell you. But if Debbie's going to lose to anybody, it needs to be Susan Haskell. And I'm not rooting for Susan Haskell. Let me get me right. I love Susan Haskell. I think she's a great actress. But my heart's with Debbie.
I know. I love
my heart's
Debbie
with
so
Debbie
much.
On this. I want Especially Debbie as Best Actress. But, yeah. And I think... And you know what? I think Debbie's owed Best Actress. She won for Best Supporting Actress. And not only did she win for Best Supporting Actress for mentioned, it was a tie between her and Nancy Lee Grand from Santa Barbara.
She might take it. I
hope she does. No disrespect to the other nominees. I'm just over Jeannie Cooper and the old broad Susan Flannery from Bold and the Beautiful.
She's won an 8,200 times.
They've won. We know they're great actresses.
We know you're gonna have Susan Flannery. Yeah.
Maura West from As the World Turns. She's already won one. And honestly, I don't think that she deserves.
Who did she play again?
She plays Carly. You like her, I think. Carly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she didn't do anything this past year. Yeah. In my eyes, I didn't think that her storylines were as good as in the past. I think she's had some. She had some shitty material. Her fault. She doesn't deserve it. I want Debbie Morgan to win. And if Debbie isn't going to win, it better be Susan Haskell. That's all I'm going to say.
Then we had, which I loved, I adored, the Marco Langston. Oh my Ray, God. Dorian, Lola. Loved it this week.
Yeah, it was. Loved. I gotta tell you, if you're gonna write people out, it's better to go out in a bang. And Ray and Lola went out in a big old bang because we found out. First of all, we found out
that they're leaving.
It really sucks that they're leaving. It really sucks because I don't think this has anything to do with Frank and Ron C. I was telling Ashley, I think this is all Brian Franz. I don't think Brian Franz wants. I don't think he wants Robin Strasser to have a storyline in Love Issues.
It's already clear that he ixnayed. Erica Slezak.
Yeah, supposedly that was announced on Daytime Confidential that somebody said that he has been nixing storylines for One Night to Live and especially for Erica Slezak.
Stacy is his girl. Now, we happen to like Stacy, but a lot of the fans don't.
Don't like Stacy, but...
But Stacy is his girl.
Yeah, so, like, I gotta tell you, the scenes between Ray and Dorian were so incredible, so sexy. They were hotter than any young people.
But Langston, I mean, when I saw Lola poking holes, because Lola got wind of the whole scheme.
Yeah.
And she was pissed off because I couldn't believe it, but Langston actually, because Dorian overheard.
Lola told Dorian first. Lola was a biatch.
She was a biatch, so it was great, but I was cringing because I'm like, how the hell, like, I'm thinking, like, about myself. Like, how would you handle that if, like, a 17-year-old girl came to you and said, I'm going to lose my virginity tonight at the Palace Hotel and you can't stop me?
I think she did the right thing, though. She treated her like an adult.
I agree, too.
It was, you know what? It was very beautiful scenes between.
It was incredible.
Because this, again, why was this beautiful? Because this is real shit. This is what really happens in real life. Your parents have to deal with this. And I thought it was very mature.
There would have been a time, though, in Dorian's life where Dorian would have locked that girl up and threw her key.
Yeah, but, you know, there's different circumstances between this. Because, first of all, Dorian's never raised any of her daughters.
That's right.
Cassie was given up for adoption. Mm-hmm. So was, you know, Miss Adriana Bitchy Bang. So, like, none of her daughters she's ever raised from, like, day one. Mm-hmm. So I think that plays into it, too. It's just, like, it's a different thing,
but
you know?
She even said, like, this is how good these writers are. She even said, you know, if Langston was a boy, I don't think I'd even care. I wouldn't feel the same way. Is that terrible? She says that's a Ray.
Yeah, those scenes with her and Ray were
so good.
And the best thing was that everything like reached a head at the prom. Lola went with Ash the drug dealer, which I thought
but
was awesome.
Not before she poked pinholes in the condoms.
And she went on her webcam my face page. I love that my face. But the thing that was so great is that we found out at the end of the week why Lola's so mental. Mm-hmm. Because before Ash got arrested, which we'll talk about why he got arrested, but he gave her the ecstasy tablet, the LSD, and she took it. So she winds up
like a little sticker.
She goes back to the mansion and busts in on her father and Dorian.
She did a great job.
And she was great. And we find out why this poor girl's psychotic. She is the one who actually killed her mother. And A. Martinez, of course, I didn't expect any less from him but to bang it out the way he did. That look that he had on his face when he was holding her and he realized what she had done, mm-hmm. excellent. And Robin Strasser looking over, excellent. But see, this explains why this character has been behaving like this. And this is what I love. Because you cannot just sit half-assed. You got to have a reason. Mm-hmm. And this is a reason for why this poor girl has not been, like, all there.
I don't know if it's the reason it indicates that she's not all there.
Yeah, but
she could have been crazy before she.
No, I mean, but look, she.
She obviously was crazy to kill her mother out of jealousy.
No, she killed her, I was thinking that maybe she just killed her mother because she was jealous of her mother. Her father paid more. But she killed her mother because her mother was cheating on her father.
Oh, that's right.
That's why she did it. She loved her father so much that she killed her own mother because she was humiliating. And I gotta say this, I'm not stereotyping, but Latinos on the island or the country from where they're from, they're like that. They're not like the Latinos here in America with America. No, but you gotta be serious. That kind of shit goes down in places like Colombia and Puerto Rico on the island. You know, crimes of passion, we call it. Here in America, we're a little bit more stable.
If you watch the telenovelas,
they do that shit all the time.
Like, I mean, you see, like, a woman will come in the hospital, like, bloody from head to toe because the mistress has, like, beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
She's screaming. And that's inspired by real life stuff.
That stuff goes in the. I'm sorry, but our people, you know what it is? Our people, Latinos, we're very passionate
people.
We're crazy. We are a little crazy. We think with our emotions. We don't think with our. Like, we're not like Caucasian Americans. They think with their brains. We think with our hearts first. And that gets us into a lot of trouble. So I totally believe that. I thought it was brilliant. It was a brilliant twist. twist. But you know, guess who called it months ago? Papa Hudson. My dad, when the minute they came on and we discovered that that was Ray's backstory and he saw the daughter, he told me, I bet you anything the daughter did it.
Oh my God.
And I said, I looked at him, I said, Daddy, you're crazy. And now I had to tell him, look, Pop, you called it. He's like, but he loves his Lola. Like, he's very upset that she's going.
Didn't you love the scenes too between, and this is what...
Marco and
I look at these young people and I'm like, damn, I'm old. But like when you think about them, they made love for the first time. It was really very beautiful and touching.
Was your first time like that? Mine certainly wasn't.
Mine was.
But see, I think that was beautiful though. It's nice on a soap opera to see. You know, I like the fact that somebody can have a happy, you know, time. And I thought Marco and Langston were so beautiful.
This is a Disney owned channel.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that they let them go down there.
They let two 17 year olds make love, not have sex.
I know, but this isn't High School Musical, and it's not on the Disney Channel. It's on ABC.
Made love for the first time.
Their kissing was a little not real, though.
Really, I didn't find any of it unreal.
He's a queen in real life.
Oh yeah. I think he's nice with her. I like.
Oh no, I love them. I love them. I don't get me wrong. Their scenes were really beautiful. They played off each other very well. I thought it was very, very cute.
Beautiful job.
It was very good. And you know who else was really good this week?
Don't even say it.
Colin Starr.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
two. No, I'm saving that for the end because that's the best. But Colin Starr were just. Everything, you know, the thing that I love about Colin Starr is that everything is so real between them. I mean, they got this seriousness, but they don't forget to write them as kids. Because that scene where he came to the mansion, they were talking about Langston and Marco and about them doing it. It was so cute and it was nice to see because they have so much heavy stuff going on in their lives. For them to have that moment where they're able to just laugh. And then when he said, that's the reason I came here. Do you want to go to the... I was crying like a little bitch. I was like, oh my God. She's like, oh, but I don't have nothing to wear.
At the same time, they were exhuming hope.
Yeah, they were exhuming hope. So to get their minds off, they went to the prom. It was really, really great.
Really nice.
And of course, this is going to be the week where the truth comes out.
I can't wait to watch my day.
I know. And then, of course, the biggest thing this week for me was my Brody and Jessica.
So freaking hot.
And I think Terry in Toronto mentioned it, and I'm going to mention it too.
Yes.
He is an officer and a gentleman. And I knew that's where he was going because I knew that was the only thing he owned too. But you know what? When he came out in those whites, I was melting.
Jess was having flashbacks of dead baby.
Yes, she knows. She's getting an idea that something's wrong.
So she runs out. She didn't plan to see him all night anyway, but she runs out to go see him, and she's not right, and he just holds her.
But wait, you forget it. It's the way that they did it, because she came in, and he was joking around with her rambling, and then he realized that something was wrong, and she just went into his arms.
And no talking.
No talking. She just went in there, and I was, you don't understand, I'm a guy who loves romance. Jane Austen, you don't understand, I'm so there, and that was beautiful for me. And when he went in there, he came out and
decided to take her
dancing.
She has her wedding.
The bridesmaid's gown
in the car, she puts it on.
And he went and got his wife.
In her whites, his navy whites.
That was the most romantic, beautiful, beautiful scene.
I will say, I didn't think that the uniform fit him very well. I thought it was a little big, a little boxy.
Well, he's big. You know, you can't...
I know, but they didn't really fit it very well.
You just
well.
Wanted something tight.
People should have made him look like Richard Gere. It wasn't like... It was like the pants were a little short. Well, look,
all I'm going to say is, because you asked me about this too, and I want to discuss it on the podcast for a minute, because you were talking to me... I know. You were talking to me about the fact that, like... You were saying that I like Nash better with Jessica, and
I was telling Ashley
the reason I like Brody and Jessica, because for me, Nash was somebody that Tess fell in love with, and her personalities were supposedly integrated. So like when she made the decision to stay with Nash over Antonio, and Nash's character was very obnoxious anyway. With her relationship with Brody is different. I mean, Brody is they were friends first. They were there for each other first. Brody is a good guy, but he's not a boring good guy. He has an estrom. He has a past. He has his own demons that he's working through. But the thing is that he loves this woman, and he's there for her regardless of what he's going through, he's there for her. She's there for him. So to me, this is, for me right now, this is Jessica's one true love. Hmm. Christian was her kid, her, you know, her teenage love, because that's who she was involved with when they were young. Well, I never liked her with Antonio, but I'm sorry. Her and Brody is something special, and I hope that Ron C keeps them together and gives them. This is what you call power couple, power super couple.
On a good note, Ron C and his writing team did get nominated for best writing team,
and they better freaking win.
If they don't win,
they better win. And you know who I'm loving too? Rebecca's brother. He could strip for me anytime. Oh, Kyle. That was hot when Kyle did the strip.
That was very
even Stacey with her bad dancing was kind of hot, but she was very stiff though. Oh, you notice how they cut away from, like, you never get to see her really dance. You just saw her kind of grind and move because she can't really dance. But Kyle is, and the reason I was telling Ashley that I love Kyle so much is because as much as every soap needs a good bitch, they also need a guy who's a little bit of a cad, and that's what Kyle is. He kind of knows he has to do the right thing, but. He's a bad boy, too, and I'm loving me some Kyle. All
right, people. Well, we have talked for 97 hours. If you want to write us, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our blog site, and you can send us a note there. Go to www.pinevalleypodcast.com, enter onto the blog site, and join in the discussion. It's very hearty and very lively. You can also go to our Facebook page. Look me up, Ashley Mendoza. Or you can just join our PVP, Pine Valley Podcast fan page, which, you know, sometimes we do little updates and stuff. I'm trying to keep it up as best I can. It's a little easier for me to answer emails, but definitely try me on Facebook if you want to try to contact me or have questions or want to state your mind, because we love hearing your ass-toot opinions. For all things all soap, go to www.daytimeconfidential.com. And for spoilers, because we are spoiler-free, please go see our friend Super Poster at his MySpace page, www.myspace.com/SuperPosterOfTheYear. He's got great spoilers. He's totally AMC dedicated. He's got AMC information, pictures, opinion polls. You can also find his spoilers on DaytimeConfidential.com on the AMC page. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Thank you all so much. We love you all. Here's a little something just for you.
There's been such a big hoopla about, and deservedly so, that Susan Lucci finally won her Emmy. And the reason that she did is that they wrote a storyline that really touched her spirit. She's a wonderful woman. She loves her children. That is really the main thing in her life, her children. And they wrote a storyline where her daughter on the show had become anorexic. And the doctor had explained to her that it was partly her fault as a mother who had not been close enough to her or spent enough time with her or allowed her to be away too long. And the scene that she did with her daughter is what won her the Tony. Because it struck deep into, won her the Emmy. It struck deep into her gut, and you could feel it, and you could hear it, and you could see it. It was a spiritual eruption from her, and that is what wins things. You see, she mostly is a comedic fan, even though she gets angry and does crazy things. She can't cry on camera. This time she did, but she hadn't. She really, that upsets her because she hasn't been able to cry. And she can do all the funny stuff and all the sophisticated stuff. But most of the people who win, you'll notice they're either crying their heart out or screaming their lungs out, or it's a very passionate emotion, really deep. And that's what she managed to do in this, because it struck a tone and a note with her. And I'm so proud of her for hanging in there. It couldn't have been easy, believe me. I used to stand right by her and hold her hand, and I say, sweetheart, you've got everything. You've got one husband who buys you everything. You've got three houses. You've got two wonderful children. You've got the most money that anybody can make in television. There's only one thing they can keep you from having, and that is the Emmy, and they're going to do it. Because that's the one criticism I have of the Emmys. We have what we call the Blue Ribbon Panel. But most of the people who volunteer to spend two long, dreary days and nights a weekend to do this, to be judges are out-of-work actors. And they are very jealous of somebody like Susan. So I know I heard somebody told me who was on the panel that they just, the minute she comes on, they start laughing and hooting and, you know, they don't even pay attention. They just dismiss it without even listening. Well, they couldn't dismiss it this time. And, well, I don't know. I think we should have T-shirts that said, I was there when Susan won. It was the roof almost came in on Madison Square Garden. And it was marvelous to feel people that excited. Now, you will never get an ovation like that in a theater or a movie or anything. That shows you what it means to people. People care. They'll say to me, you don't understand. I've known you so long and so well. You just don't know what you mean to me. That's the word mean, what you interact with, what they interact with you. And that's why soaps are important, and they mustn't leave. I don't think they ever will. They're downgrading them now because of the losing audience, but they'll never lose all their audience, and it's important that we keep it.